Welcome to Four Chicks Chatting, a womanish podcast that will engage, excite, and empower you as we chat about business and personal development, all with a healthy dose of humor. And now it's time to check in with our chicks, Kathy, Kristen, Mary Fran, and Robin.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Four Chicks Chatting. We are your chicks, Kathy Morosino, Robin Graham, Kristen Smedley, and I'm Mary Fran Bontempo. And today we are going to talk about habits. Habits to start your day. I just happened to cross this article. It was on ladders. And it was written by Benjamin Hardy at the end of just this past December. And it came up with 8 things that every person should do before 8 a.m. to get your day and year and all that other thing off to a good start. So I'm going to zip through this list really quickly, and then all of we chicks are going to jump in and kind of give you our take on it. So number 1, get a healthy 7+ hours of sleep. Number 2, prayer and meditation to facilitate clarity and abundance. 3, write in your journal for 5 to 15 minutes. 4, hard physical activity. 5, act courageously. I love that one. 6, listen to or read uplifting content. 7, do at least one thing towards long-term goals. And 8, invest in your key relationships. 8 things you should do before 8 a.m. Okay, chicks. Let's hear it. What do you think? Do you do any of them?
I got to go. I got to go do about 7 things.
What if your alarm doesn't go off till 8?
All right, then you can do them by 8:30.
Okay.
And don't hit snooze. Mel Robbins says, do not hit snooze.
Oh, that's the devil. So the snooze thing is the devil. Oh, my gosh.
Do you know what I do, though? I set 2 alarms. I set 5 and 5:15. And the 5 o'clock one is it's a song that eases me in. And then 5:15 is like Eye of the Tiger.
All right. Well, you just said a like, time of day that I hope I never see with my eyes wide open. I
know the middle of the night.
I get up at 5:15.
No, I started that with the Miracle Morning. That's how Elrod's like, get up at 5. All right.
Oh, my God. So what time do you go to bed at night if you're up at 5?
Well, that depends on what problem what child might have the night before. No, having a college kid now, he's on a different schedule. He'll call me 11:30 at night, and I have a heart attack.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway. Wait. When you said the list, what was the hours of sleep?
7.
It cut out.
7. Seven. Okay. Yes, 7. And I have to say, I need my sleep. I am just – I am not good with not enough sleep. I'm not always good with enough sleep, but I'm really not good without enough sleep. So that's a big one for me. I need my sleep.
I'm the same way. Yeah. I can't function if I don't have sleep. And it was interesting. I listened to a podcast last week on Neon Life with Nick Onken, and he interviewed Sean. What's his last name? Maybe Stevenson. Anyway, he's a St. Louis guy, but he just is publishing a book on sleep and the importance of it. And if you don't get enough sleep, you are not as creative as you would be if you had more sleep. But I mean, there's a gazillion different things right. You are not as good at if you don't get enough sleep. But being in a creative industry, like that one really struck me. I'm like, oh, see, now I really have a reason to get more sleep.
Yeah. I think a number of years ago, there was the whole thing about, oh, well, you know, you only need 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night and then you can get up and work and all. I'm like, no, that does not. No. I cannot do that. That's a huge one for me. I was glad that was actually number 1, get enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, because it affects so much. It affects your diet. It affects, that you don't want to wake up after 4 hours of sleep and say, God, I can't wait to have a scrambled egg white, omelet. After 4 hours of sleep, you want a cheeseburger or some comfort food. And then that sets the tone for the rest of the day. I find that maybe it's because, when the kids come home, that part of the day ramps up, but I'm becoming more of a night person. Mm-hmm. Because that's when I can find more free time for me.
That has always been, I'm actually trying to make a shift more into a morning person now because that has always been my schedule. I end up getting much more done at night because everybody's finally calmed down and there's no bedlam
taken care of.
Deal with. Yeah, that's always been my thing too, that I've gotten more done at night, but I'm trying to make a shift to morning because my life has changed somewhat and I have that time now. So now I'm trying to do that.
I'm a total morning person, like obnoxiously morning person. I love it. I love getting up early. I love get. Well, see, my kids start getting up at 5:45. I start breakfast with Mitch. So I have to start early on my pot of coffee and get my energy to where they need it to be. So I like I like doing the 5 a.m.
Now, do you find that you crash at any point in the day when you get up that early?
Yeah, I do. And actually, it was John Lee Dumas with EO Fire when I was listening to him one time talk about how he does a certain amount. I think he does like 40 minutes. Is it 40 minutes on, 10 minutes off, something like that, that he takes breaks and reads? Because I thought something's wrong with me, that I need to sit down and do nothing or zone out or go for a walk or go for a run because I can't go consecutive all day. But he does the same thing.
Yeah,
I do have to veg. And I can literally sit down in a chair and close my eyes for 5 minutes and recharge and be done.
I've become good at those quickie sort of nappy things, you know, or 5 or 10 minutes where you just, like you said, you just veg out and recharge. Robin, you were about to say something and jump in.
No, I love getting up early. I was just going to say I'm with Kristen on that. And because of the kids' schedule, I'm up early with them. So, but that's my time for me. Whereas by the end of the day, like I make it through the whole day. And if I feel tired, if I just get up and move, I'm good. But it's that the evening, once it's dark, forget it. So like this time of year, when it's dark at 5 o'clock, I'm ready for bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard.
But of course I can't go to bed, but.
Right.
Mary, napping, I don't do.
Was that the meditating or was that?
Number two was prayer and meditation to facilitate clarity and abundance. This is a real hard one for me because I've been saying that I'm going to get into meditating and I've done it periodically, but never with enough consistency where I feel like it's going to be a good thing for me.
That's a hard one.
It was a life changer for me. I started it 2 years ago when the divorce saga began. Friends of mine, it was like an intervention with meditation with the mala beads. It's really cool.
I don't know what that is.
A friend of mine actually gave, there's a group of friends of mine that we've been playing soccer together since high school, and we get together once or twice a year. And when they were all here at my house that year, my friend Shannon gave everybody a thing of mala beads where you put the thing together yourself with intention. It's like, you know, the Catholics, we're all recovering Catholics, right? The rosary. It's a similar thing where you do an intention every morning. You have a mantra that you say over and over for the 180 beads.
Oh, wow.
And I'm telling you, it changed. I mean, you see everything that's coming to fruition in my life, my career now.
This particular mantra, it's one mantra that you stick with and you say it 180 times through the prayer beads. Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah, and it ends up, it's something in your mind. I'm actually doing the Mel Robbins Mindset Reset right now. And she talks a little bit about this with visualization and all that. But it directs your focus.
Yeah.
Day. And I get the most done before 9 o'clock in the morning. So this whole thing, 8 before 8. And when I do that focused mantra, that's where I focus my energy. And for a while there, I was doing, I'm a best-selling author. I just said it over and over every day with those mala beads. And that helped the book come along in a way that's so different now than where it started. So
That's interesting.
It's cool.
I don't do the meditation the way I would like, but I do have like a morning devotional book that I read every day. And that is something, but I think I'd like to get a little more invested in that. And again, they're only talking 5 to 15 minutes. So, you know, even if you split the difference and you do 10 minutes of some sort of focused, and again, maybe intention is a good word to put in there too, as opposed to prayer or meditation. That's
I like that. Intention. Cup of tea.
Yeah. Set your day with intention.
Yeah, I do the same thing you do, Mary Fran. I do a devotion, but I also journal. So that's part of my morning routine.
Which is the next thing on the list.
Exactly. So I like the, and that kind of encompasses the intentions as well. And from everything I've read, when you write things down or associate them with pictures, as long as there's something visual, it's more apt to happen. So that's kind of my like morning ritual is I do my devotion, my prayer, and then I do my journaling, which is partly my intention.
Yeah. That's what it says here. Write in your journal for 5 to 15 minutes. And I think that, you know, we keep coming back to that intention idea. I think that's if you're talking about first thing in the morning, setting an intention for the day, a general intention or a specific one, if you're looking to accomplish a certain goal, I think that probably makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So that was number three, was write in your journal. Kathy or Kristen, do you have a journal? Do you, either of you, keep any kind of a journal?
Now, I never put it in anything in writing. And if you know me, that's my number one rule. You can always deny you said it.
This is the woman you call when you got to bury a body.
That's the one. Yeah.
Okay, moving on to number four, hard physical activity. I know, Kristen, that you are a runner. I have slacked off terribly with exercise lately, and I got to get back into it. So how many of you, I know, Kristen, you run, do you, other two, consistent physical exercise, or is it just kind of, hey, I feel like going for a walk or whatever?
No, 7 days
we
a week.
We hit the Peloton. Yeah, we've got Pelotons. And,
wow.
I also
absolutely
go to a gym to 3 days a week for spinning.
Oh, my God.
I need the motivation. I need somebody to be in front of me so I can't slack off.
Such a slacker. Good Lord. I just lift grandkids up, down, up, down, up, down, up the steps. They need food. Get them this. I swear to God. It's just like being right back with your own kids again when they come over for the day. You can't sit still for 5 minutes. So the days I see them, I count that as a built-in workout, but I do need
exactly
other stuff. So Kristen, you run, right? And do you play soccer at all anymore?
Well, actually, I have a league that I'm starting or getting involved in February, but for the winter, I don't run because I'm not old, but my bones are getting older, and it's the cold actually is so painful on my knees. So I have a exercise bike that I moved out of my office and put in my living room because the view is gorgeous, and it looks a little weird. I guess you walk in, there's two pianos and a bike, whatever. But I do that, and I have a yoga mat and do the plank challenge and all that. But that's when so I do that before I found an extra 25 minutes in my day to be able to get that in between kids getting on buses. But I get on the bike and that's when I scroll through my social media.
Smart.
So at least I'm moving.
A little bit of a multitasking kind of a thing there. I don't know. I think that probably makes sense. I guess it does because I just get bored. I mean, obviously a lot of people have problems with the whole exercise thing because they get bored. So maybe if you have that other thing to do to occupy your brain while you're exercising, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Exercise is my therapy. Like that's my, whether I'm like on my Peloton sweating or running and sweating, or cause I still run as well. Or if I'm just taking a walk or doing yoga or weights, no matter what it is, like that's my therapy. That's my time. And that's where my brain just kind of resets.
Well, it's obviously, it's been clearly noted how many times that exercise releases is serotonin and whatnot in your body and all those feel good chemicals. So yes, that makes a lot of sense. And I need to get back to that. And now that you all showed me up, let's move on to number five, which is act courageously.
Courage.
So tell me what this means. Act courageously before 8 a.m.
Okay, so basically, and I don't know that it means they want you to do it at that moment, but the options that they give you, make that call, ask that question, pitch that idea, post that video. I will say one of the things that he says, a guy named Darren Hardy has actually said that you can be a coward, and I can't even read this percentage, but it's 99.9 blah, 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 blah percent of the time. You only need to be courageous for 20 seconds at a time. 20 seconds of fear is all you need. If you courageously confront fear for 20 seconds every single day, before you know it, you'll be in a different socioeconomic and social situation.
Wow.
That's a big promise.
But 20 seconds.
Well, you know what I think it means? I think it means that it really only takes 20 seconds to act on that thing that's making you afraid.
Click send on the email pitch. Okay.
Yeah. Because how often do we debate and worry things to death and all that stuff? And yet if we just did exactly that, if we just hit send, if we just made the phone call, and that act of actually doing that takes no time at all. It's getting to pushing the button.
Do you want to hear something funny about that with 20 seconds? So for months, when I say it was probably 6 months, I sat on my introduction to my book, wanting to send it to Bob Berg. Because he had said to me on a video I was on with him on one of these types of things, Kristen, when your book is ready, send it to me. I want to take a look. 6 months waiting to send, because I was so nervous that it wasn't perfect, perfect, perfect. What was he going to think? And I finally just did, clicked send to him. And he was instantaneously, he had looked at it and gotten back to me and had this one suggestion at the end of something that I screwed up with a person's name. And he said something along the lines of, we authors have to stick together. Like something like, I don't know, whatever he said, it was just like, I'm like, I love this man. And he said, he was like, it was gripping. It was so good. I wish I could read the whole thing. He's got a stack of books that everybody sends him to read. But it was just, you know, 20 seconds of hitting send and all that anxiety was gone. And I feel it. And it's still, it's gone through a whole nother edit that then I was like, oh crap. He saw the crappy version of it. You know, he didn't see the best part yet, but I thought he was so gracious and wonderful. I should have done it 6 months ago.
Well, send him one when it's completed.
You can send him the whole thing.
Yeah. But that's obviously, it's a very valid point. We spend so much time worrying. I mean, and I think we worry because we know that on some level we're being judged. We may not be successful one way or the other. I mean, that's what it all comes down to, most of this fear, but the result is going to happen or it's not going to happen. And what do you want out of it? Do you want to know? Do you want to know ultimately whether it's a successful thing or not a successful thing? And if so, then you gotta bite the bullet and swallow your fear and be brave for 20 seconds. Right?
Yeah. I like that. If anybody saw my Instagram post this morning, and listeners, it's at KMMDISC, D-I-S-C. I had a quote from Mark Twain. Continuous improvement is better than delayed perfection.
Oh, I love that.
And I started out by saying, how many times have we waited to hit send or publish or even join because we didn't think we were ready?
There you go.
Right.
Yep. Done is better than perfect. Don't we say that? Done
is better than perfect. I put that as a hashtag. We'll see.
Yeah. Done is better than perfect.
So and I think, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I like that one. So go.
Gary Vee had said, I think I said this before, that nobody watched his videos for a solid year. He just kept putting them out there. Nobody, so he didn't have to worry about them being perfect. He was working on it. And then he got ginormous following on his videos. So,
yeah, you got to start or you're just never going to make the progress. So hit send, people.
Everybody.
Hit send. Okay.
Hashtag.
So hashtag hit send.
Don't send anything until you're done listening to us.
Well, yeah, don't do it yet. Don't wait.
Right.
Until we sign off. Okay, listen to / read uplifting content. Ordinary people seek entertainment. Extraordinary people seek education and learning.
The devotionals fall in there, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think
and
so.
My People magazine falls in there.
Sweet Jesus.
What? That's about extraordinary.
Hey, people. There should be an Uplifting People magazine.
There should be.
I'll work on that.
There you
now,
go.
You know, I am not gonna name the docuseries because it's Trey controversial. However, anybody not living under a rock has seen that Lifetime has just blown their ratings and the viewership out of the water for every other network. So I've been touting Lifetime, kids,
why
all these years.
Why can't you name it? Is it not uplifting?
Well, it's not.
Somebody's
it's not uplifting.
Okay.
No, sadly, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kathy Marcino has upped the Lifetime ratings to historic levels. And Eminem's stock went through the roof.
Anywho, I'm just saying maybe it's not educational. Maybe it is Lifetime. Maybe it is People magazine. It's whatever it is that's inspirational to you.
It's something that has to feed you. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate their intention of saying like sort of educational, because I get the intention behind that is always bettering yourself, always moving forward and all that. But there is another part of taking care of yourself and entertaining your brain or giving your brain a chance to slow down or relax a little bit that falls into, I think, exactly what you're saying, Kath.
Right.
Yeah. I have like nine books on my bedside table right now that I flip between every morning.
Oh, you're like me. I read every day, all day long. Like if I have that 5 minutes, I pick something up. But I love like historic nonfiction, but I have to have something that I'm learning from. Like, and that's just me. Like, I can't just pick up a romance novel or something. Like, that doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
But I think that's just my background. I just love to learn. So I fit right into this one.
I think given like putting it all back into context, and they're saying do it before 8 a.m. I think the intention is once again to start your day with a positive intention, mm-hmm. and start it in an uplifting way. So that could narrow the scope of what they're suggesting you do. But you know, whether it's a devotional or, I mean, all this stuff. And I think when you look at a list and you go, oh my God, 8 things, like all of these things can sort of tie in together. You know, you pray and you meditate, reading a quick devotional or whatever.
While you're on the exercise bike. Yeah, I mean, I'm picturing the, you know, the guy that's like, has the drum and then he's banging, he's got all the instruments on.
Tooting a trumpet.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing right now.
So, okay, let's go. Let's see. Do at least one thing towards long-term goals. Willpower is like a muscle that depletes when it is exercised. Similarly, our ability to make high-quality decisions becomes fatigued over time. Huh. Hmm. So do the hard stuff first thing in the morning, the important stuff. That's the intention of that one.
I would say that's the workout, too.
Yeah, I don't know that you'd be making a big decision before 8 o'clock, though, would you?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what, I sit now the night before with my, I have the Michael Hyatt 90-day planner, and I sit right before I go to bed and go through my to-do list and make it for the next day. And then in the morning, whatever one of the big chunk of goal that I have to do, I actually do it early.
That's
because my day falls apart after a certain hour. It's like, then you, once you open email, forget about it.
Well, and after 9 a.m.
And you're solving other people's problems.
Exactly. Yeah. And that all happens after 9 o'clock for me. Like I can't put anything off past 9 o'clock because the phone rings or something happens. Somebody needs something or there's, you know, a sudden, somebody needs a headshot immediately or whatever. And the whole day is like, has to be rescheduled. So I'm with you, Kristen. I get the harder things done or as early as I possibly can.
Yeah. It does make sense. It makes a lot of sense because once again, it's you deal with the painful or challenging things first, get them out of the way, and then you can get on with whatever else comes next.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next one. All right. We got that one handled. Next. Okay. Invest in your key relationships.
Why is that funny?
Crickets. Look, it's like crickets.
Relationships. Nobody's talking.
Well, you were laughing. Right. That distracted
me. Professional and personal. So it can be, I mean, you know, when you have kids and you're up and out at with them in the morning, you're always, I mean, that's an investment in and of itself. So once again, maybe we should not look at these things necessarily as a whole list of extra things that you have to do, but maybe recognize when you're doing them already that you are investing in your personal relationships. When you take care of your kids in the morning and get them off to school and everybody's got a lunch and everybody's safe and blah, 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 that's investing in your personal relationships.
So French braiding Gracie's 4-foot-long hair every morning.
Investment.
There you go.
Check.
Because, I mean, John leaves at 4:45 in the morning. There's no investing in relationships.
And he's not braiding Gracie's hair either. So let's call that what it is.
So there. I can check that one off my list.
Yeah, it doesn't have to go to the idea of get romantic with your spouse before 8 o'clock in the morning. We all know that's slim to none.
Just don't yell at them. How about that? There's the
answer.
There you go. Now I could probably stand to take under advisement.
The yelling part.
Make sure there's a towel
in
the shower.
With my girlfriend. I have one girlfriend that she's the last person I talk to at night and the first person I talk to in the morning.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Wow. How about that? Yeah.
That's she's a key relationship, and that's just a lot can happen during the night. You never know.
You just don't know. You don't know.
Wait, are you talking to her before you send us the 11:30 text with all your brainstorming? Or are you talking to her after that?
As you're doing all of your hard reading. It's 11:30 at night, and there's this text about a podcast and what we should be reading and doing. I'm like, why is she not asleep?
Can I just tell you that, and, you know, and I can't name the pharmaceutical because that stock would go through the roof, but I don't even remember sending that. And the next morning, I got texts from you guys saying, great article, Kathy. I'm going to have to do that. I'm like, what?
You're amazing in the middle of the night when you don't know it. She's sleep texting.
I had no idea I even sent that.
The side effects of Vesta, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, there you have it. Everybody, call your broker now.
Well, I will say, if that was unconscious, it was pretty on point. I have to give you kudos for that one.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well
that's
done.
Awesome. Next.
Okay, so that's it.
That's
we covered
it.
The list of eight.
Oh, that was the relationship.
List of eight. Here's the conclusion. After you've done this, no matter what you have for the rest of your day, you'll have done the important stuff first. You'll have put yourself in a place to succeed. You'll have inched toward your dreams.
All right.
That's not a bad way to look at it. And I want to give credit to this guy again when I get to the top of this. Benjamin P. Hardy, 8 Things Every Person Should Do Before 8 a.m. But I don't know, maybe that idea of inching towards your goals is not a bad way to look at it because.
No, this is for you, Allison. Baby steps. We're
baby
taking
steps.
Baby steps. Yep.
Every single day, if you put that in play to inch towards your goals and you do those certain things, I've said this many times, and I have to say, I'll go back to my experience with my son, who, as most listeners probably know by now, struggled with heroin addiction. When he was finally coming out of all that and getting well, it was exactly those little things that made him see that he was becoming a person again and not the drug addict. Like I will never forget, and he will never forget because he mentions it often when he talks to groups and all. The day that he went out and bought his own shampoo, deodorant, like Q-tips and stuff like that for his personal care was huge for him. And it was something that is mindless for most of us, but it was a little tiny thing that gave him the knowledge and the awareness and the intention of moving towards being a full human again. So taking that and put that experience and putting this into context with this, any kind of little steps that you take that move you towards your goals are good ones. And why not do them early in the morning?
And you can take this list. I mean, it's 8 things. So you could, what if you looked at it as a monthly thing that you start one, like say you start journaling in January, and then in February you add getting up earlier, or then you add, and then by the end of the year, you have like a extraordinary year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's exactly right though, Kristen, extraordinary. It always starts, Kathy, one step at a time, baby steps. Extraordinary it rarely happens in one fell swoop.
Yeah. Sometimes when it does, then it falls apart because you just can't keep it up.
So there's no solid foundation there.
Baby steps.
And I think there's something to be said for working on things to accomplish them. If they happened overnight, I think that's why they fall apart, because the grit wasn't put into it. You know, your heart and soul wasn't invested in it. Like when you do something extraordinary over a period of time.
Yeah.
It's
to
process,
sustain it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's a process.
You have to be invested in sustaining it. So yeah, I think that's true. Okay. So any quick squirrel brain roundups from this one?
You know, Mary Friend, I actually printed off the same article. I know you were looking at it online. You're so much more techie than I am. But I love paper.
I know you love paper,
I love paper. Plant more trees. That's all I'm going to say. But it's at the bottom, in part of the conclusion, it says you'll quickly find you're doing the work you're passionate about. Your relationships will be passionate, meaningful, deep, and fun. You will have freedom and abundance. The world and the universe will respond to you in beautiful ways. I thought that was a nice way to summarize all that.
It is a great way to summarize it.
Thank you, Robin.
Yeah. And again, it comes back to that whole idea of it doesn't have to happen all at once. Just do these little things and you notice the improvements. Kat,
very good.
What do you got?
Baby steps. Don't feel overwhelmed because you see the number 8 because it's close to 10. So, like Kristen's said, maybe you do one this week and you do another one the next week. Don't get overwhelmed. You don't do all eight. We love you anyway.
Yeah, we do. We do. All right, Kristen, what's your thought?
And I would say take a real good hard look for all of you listeners that are saying there's no possible way I can fit all those into the morning before eight. If you look at that schedule, like I just last week figured out that I can get a 25-minute workout in from between taking Mitchell to the bus and then Carissa to the bus. There's 25 minutes that Carissa and I were staring at each other and eating Fruit Loops. She can get her act together, and then we meet and have breakfast in the kitchen. So there are nooks and crannies where you can fit some stuff in.
Yeah. And if it's not 25 minutes, make it 10 minutes. Make it 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there. It doesn't all have to be in one fell swoop, but get your body moving, get your brain moving. And I think for me, it would come down to start your early mornings with intention and small positive steps. And by the end of the day, you will have had a positive day.
I like it.
I guess that's about it. So here we go, folks. Another episode of Four Chicks Chatting. And please find us on that social thing. Connect with us, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all those places. And do leave us a review. There is a pinned post on our Facebook page about how to do that because it can be confusing. Spread the word. Leave us a review. And we will gladly see you next time.
Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to our chicks. Want to learn how to create your own chick chat? Head to our website, chickschatting.com. Be sure to join our chats on that social thing, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.